One of the things we really wanted to focus on over the last couple of years is measuring success for our recruiters in the talent acquisition space. So we've developed metrics that we are really proud of because they are truly recruiter driven versus things that might be out of our control. Don't get me wrong, we still look at things like time to fill, but we also know that time to fill can be influenced by a number of different factors that are driven by a number of different things, whether it's the economy, the business itself, what's going on there. So we are focused on what the recruiter controls.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with Corinne House, Director of TA at Grainger. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have our conversation today. So let's start out and talk a little bit about your background. Everyone in TA's got an interesting story on how they got started. So maybe how you got started in the talent space, as well as a couple opportunities that you led leading up to your current role.
Absolutely. So I will begin by saying I am a graduate of law school. So I went to law school and graduated in 2008. Anyone that was looking for a job in the market at that period of time will relate to the statement that it was a pretty tough time to be out there seeking to be a new hire with very limited experience. So I ended up at a temp agency just to get the bills paid. And one of the placements that I had in my temp agency days was at Grainger. And I haven't looked back. So 16 years later, the rest is history. I was hired into the business, actually, and I worked in the business for a couple of years in our pricing department. And then from there, I was able to make my way into human resources. When I was a leader in pricing, I had a lot of interactions with human resources. I found them to be extremely wonderful partners, and it was a place where I wanted to be. I wanted to be part of that action. I held several different roles as an HRBP, supporting several different functions over the course of my years. And as an HRBP, one of my favorite things about that role is you have to interact with a lot of different COEs, one of those COEs being talent acquisition. And that's where I discovered, hey, I think that's an area where I've got a skill set that I could bring a lot of different perspectives, but also some talent too. So I found my way over there, and I've been leading a TA team for 4 years now.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing. If you wouldn't mind, for the audience, give some perspective around Grainger as a business, as well as your current role as far as size and scope, number of hires, or whatever you would like to share.
Absolutely. So Grainger is a leading broadline distributor of MRO, which stands for Maintenance, Repair, and Operations. We operate primarily in North America, Japan, and the United Kingdom. And our purpose that we all rally around is to keep the world working. That's our mantra. And we do that by delivering products and solutions to our customers through innovative technology and also through building deep customer relationships.
Yeah, that's great. So if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your role and the scope of your role as a director of talent acquisition, talk a little bit about that, please.
Absolutely. So Grainger employs over 26,000 team members worldwide. As for the scope of my team, I lead a team that supports the United States and Canada. And annually, we contribute thousands of hires to the organization. We split that work between four different quadrants. So we've got early in career, which is where our interns come from and our rotational programs. We have executive hiring, but then we also have what we call field and corporate hiring, which fall in a mid-career bucket. I have responsibility for the field hiring that happens at Grainger, and that's roughly two-thirds of that annual volume. And then my counterpart on the mid-career side in corporate, she's got the other third. What I will say is if you look at it just by the numbers, you might go, wow, you have a much bigger job. Why do they do it that way? Why isn't it more even? The reality is on the field side, my roles are very repeatable. I have high volume hiring that happens, but the role profiles that my team hires for is probably around 10 to 20 different types of jobs. Whereas my counterpart's hiring, even though it's a lower volume, one out of every five of those profiles is probably a vastly different talent profile that they have to hunt and search the market for.
Yeah, sure. Makes a lot of sense. That's great. Let's jump into maybe a couple initiatives that you're really proud of that have occurred over the last couple of years. So maybe share anything that you and your team have led or some results that you've gained, whatever you'd like to share of that you're proud of over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think one of the toughest things about this space is how do you know what good looks like? You make hires, and so like you check those boxes, but how do you know you made hires in the right way? So one of the things we really wanted to focus on over the last couple of years is measuring success for our recruiters in the talent acquisition space. So we've developed metrics that we are really proud of because they are truly recruiter driven versus things that might be out of our control. Don't get me wrong, we still look at things like time to fill, but we also know that time to fill can be influenced by a number of different factors that are driven by a number of different things, whether it's the economy or the business itself, what's going on there. So we are focused on what the recruiter controls. So what is the quality of the candidates that are coming in through the funnel? What are our candidates and our hiring managers saying about the experience we're having with us, surveying those results and looking at them? Those are the types of things that we're really putting a focus on so that we can talk to our team about this is what good looks like and this is where we need to improve.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Let's look forward a little bit. So as you look at maybe the next 12 to 18 months or key initiatives that your team is thinking about right now, what are a couple of things that the team is focused on or looking at as a key priority looking forward?
I'm going to start really broad because I think that this is really important to say. There are so many things that we could chase and so many different things we could go after that I think the number one thing that I think about is we have to pick one, right? We have to focus in on what is most important, what will lift all ships, what is the thing that we have to go after immediately. And for me, when you look at Glassdoor, when you look at LinkedIn, like the types of posts that are going on there, what is near and dear to my heart is the candidate experience. So people that are starting to check out almost of this process where I'm tired of competing with bots, I'm tired of getting ghosted by recruiters. Like you hear candidates talking all the time about, I'm having a terrible experience out there. And when you pair that with the fact that we're starting to see successful hiring happening from tapping on folks that you might want to consider fence sitters, so people that aren't actively applying to roles, but people who are like, if the right recruiter came along, I would put in an application. You marry all that together. And what we're focused on is how do we start to blend those? How do we mesh those two things and say, how can we make this happen organically where it's not as much having to go tap on the fence sitters, but how do we make this a better experience that makes candidates want to apply to our jobs? How do we make this easier for them? And then when you consider the hiring manager side of that, how do you also ensure that the right quality is coming in and we're putting the right people forward? So I think that one way to start to bridge those gaps is obviously going to be technology. And so AI is all the rage right now. I think that it would be naive to say that's not going to be part of a solution. But I also think the secret sauce is going to be a blend of continuing to keep humans in that loop, but also bringing in innovative technologies that'll help us figure this out.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. And while everyone is talking about AI and technology, I think it's really important. And the best organizations really take the lens of what is experience and outcome that we're really trying to drive with this. And they very strategically about that first, not letting the technology or the solution discover the problem or lead that discussion. And so you're very smart to think about what's the experience we want to create for each of the individuals that are stakeholders in this process, and what outcome are we really trying to drive, and using those lenses to really take a look at the technology that would fit that. I think that's a really smart way to look at it.
Thank you. I think that's absolutely right too.
Yeah, great. The last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would have for others? Most of our audience are people either in the talent acquisition space or interested in the talent acquisition space. So what's some advice you would have for that audience?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the headline, which is ask all the questions and make all the mistakes. Those are the two things I'm going to say. But then I'm going to preface it by saying, don't actively go out and make mistakes. That's probably not the right approach. But What I mean by that is, first of all, if there's a question on your mind that you're hesitating on asking because you thought if somebody else had the same question, they would have asked it by now, put it in the room, because I have found that where I have been able to move things forward by leaps and bounds is when I ask something that I think might be a dumb question or might be something someone has already said. And then people look at me and go, wow, that's a great question. I never thought of that. Just be brave. And you know what? The flip side has happened too, where I ask a question, you get the sense where it was like, okay, that wasn't as well received, but I never regret asking what's on my mind. I always feel like I leave conversations having gotten what I needed. So that's my first piece of advice. The other thing I think about is where I have had the biggest learnings in my career is actually from the mistakes that I've made. So again, don't actively try to make mistakes, but when you do make a mistake, it's also not the end of the world. Try to find that silver lining and focus on what will I learn from this and how will this move me forward versus focusing on the initial embarrassment or how it'll set you back.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I talk to my kids about that. It's only a mistake if you didn't learn anything. So I think that's really great advice for those in the space, and that, you know, everyone should be continuous learners and lifelong learners. And you know, I've been in the space 30 years. I'm still learning a lot. And so I think it's really important. I think that's great advice. I really appreciate you joining me today and sharing your journey. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.